نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، إخوتي في الله، فإن الثبات على الإسلام نعمة، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. والنعمة أخوة الإسلام إما نعمة مقيدة أو نعمة مطلقة. أما النعمة المقيدة فهي يشترك فيها المسلم والكافر، البر والفاجر، وهي كنعمة الصحة، كنعمة الغنى، كنعمة الزوجة، كنعمة الولد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد، Sheikh, he began by saying, Ikhwan, after Khutbat al-Haja, that having a thabat and being blessed with the ability to be steadfast upon the religion is a blessing from Allah. It is a ni'mah. And this is understood from the statement of Allah Ta'ala in the Qur'an when He said, today I have completed for you your religion, and I have perfected and completed for you my ni'mah, and I have been pleased to choose for you al-Islam as a way of life. So as it relates to the favor of Allah, the ni'mah, they are of two types. The first type of ni'mah is the one that is muqayyida. It is a ni'mah that is there's ni'mah that is restricted, and then there is the ni'mah that is the opposite of that. It is mutlaqa, not restricted. He said, as it relates to the restricted ni'mah, or the ni'mah muqayyida, he said that the ni'mah that is muqayyida is the one that the kuffar and the Muslims partake in it. The religious and the irreligious, they partake in it. Like, for an example, the favor that Allah bestows upon a person when He gives him good health, or He gives him riches, or He gives him a wife, or He gives him a child. This is the ni'mah that all groups, they partake in it.
وأما النعمة المطلقة فهي الموصولة بسعادة الأبد، وهي الإسلام والسنة. فالحمد لله على الإسلام والسنة.
As for the ni'mah that is general, the ni'mah that is not specific, the one that is just mutlaqa, the Shaykh said this is the one that is connected with permanent happiness, perpetual happiness. And this is the ni'mah of al-Islam and the ni'mah of the Sunnah. And all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for al-Islam and the Sunnah.
وهذه النعمة أعني نعمة الثبات على الإسلام، على الإسلام والسنة، غرس ينبغي على المسلم أن يرعاه، وينبغي على المسلم أن يسقيه بماء الحياة، ولذلك ضرب الله تبارك وتعالى مثلا للمؤمنين في كتاب من كتبه وهو الإنجيل، فقال: ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستوى فاستغلظ على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار، فضرب لهم مثلا بالزرع النامي. وهذا الزرع لا يزال الله يغرسه غرسا بيده ويستعمله بطاعته إلى يوم القيامة، كما قال رسولنا الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث أبي عنب الخولاني في سنن ابن ماجه بإسناد حسن، قال: لا يزال الله يغرس لهذا الدين غرسا يستعملهم بطاعته إلى يوم القيامة.
الشيخ said, this ni'mah, which is the ni'mah of being able to be steadfast and having a thabat on the religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He plants it for the individual. And it becomes necessary for the Muslim to do his level best to water this seed, to water this seed with the life of the religion. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a similar tool, an example, a method that He gave for the believers in the Quran and one of the books He revealed, and that was a similar tool that He revealed in the Injil before us. When He said in Surah Al-Fath, when He gave the example of the companions, and their example is like the example of a seed that is planted and it grows forth, and then the stalk, it becomes strong. It stands up and it becomes strong. And with it, Allah Ta'ala, He makes the disbelievers upset, uncomfortable. The Shaykh said that this plant or this seed, Allah Ta'ala, He plants it with His own hand. He plants this seed with His own hand, and that He enables and He allows the individual to have the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it has been authentically recorded in a hadith that's in the Sunan of Al-Imam Ibn Majah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will not cease to plant a seed. Allah will not cease to plant a seed for a group of people to practice His deen, to be upon the religion until Yawmul Qiyam.
ولذلك سنتناول الوسائل العامة للثبات على الدين، ثم ندخل منها إلى وسائل الثبات على الإسلام في بلاد الغرب. أما الوسائل،
so for that reason now we're going to start dealing with some of the means and the ways, the wasail that are general that will help us understand the way a person is established on the religion in general. What are some of the things, some of the ways that a person can become established on Islam in general? And then after that, we're going to deal with explaining some of the issues that will help you to be established and get thabat on the religion here in the West specifically.
أما الوسائل العامة فمن أعظمها الإقبال على القرآن الكريم، لأنه مادة في التثبيت. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في سورة الفرقان: وقال الذين كفروا لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة كذلك لنثبت به فؤادك ورتلناه ترتيلا ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. فهذا ربنا تبارك وتعالى يقول أنه نزل كتابه على رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مفرقا ليثبت به فؤاد رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذن فمن تعلم القرآن وعلمه فقد اتخذ وسيلة إلى الثبات على الدين، من حكم القرآن على نفسه فقد سلك وسيلة للثبات على الدين، من أحل حلاله وحرم حرامه فقد سلك طريقة إلى الثبات على الدين، من تخلق بإخلاق القرآن كما كان رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم كان خلقه القرآن، فقد سلك طريقا في الثبات على الدين.
So as it relates to the general wasail, the general ones, how you can become established on the religion of Islam, from the greatest wasail, from the greatest vehicle, the greatest way that will enable you to be established on the religion generally, is for a person to turn towards the Quran, to engage himself with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Quran in itself is the mada of a tasbih. It is the thing in itself that will establish you and give you steadfastness in the Quran. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan, when He said concerning the statement of the kuffar, they say, only if the Quran had been revealed upon him in totality at one time. And this we did in order to establish your heart. The Shaykh used that ayah to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it came down to him in piecemeal at intermittent times in order to establish his heart firmly. So whoever learns the Quran and he teaches the Quran, he has taken from himself one of the ways to be established on this religion. The one who takes the Quran and causes the Quran to be the judgment in his issue, he makes the tahkim of the Quran. He himself takes the Quran and makes it a ruler in his issue. He has taken the Quran in essence as a way to get established on the deen. The one who takes the Quran and he makes halal, halal, haram, haram as a result of the Quran, he has taken the Quran as a way, as a vehicle to get established on the deen. The one who takes the Quran and he tries to imitate and emulate what the Quran is telling him to do as it relates to his akhlaq, his character, then he has taken the Quran and he has caused the Quran to give him tathbeet on the deen, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described. His character was the Quran.
ومن وسائل التثبيت أخوة الإسلام أيضا أن يكون العبد موحدا مخلصا متبعا، فهذا من أعظم وسائل التثبيت. ولذلك ضرب الله سبحانه وتعالى مثلا للكلمة الطيبة بشجرة ثابتة أصلها ثابت، ومثل كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. أصلها ثابت في قلب المسلم، في قلب المؤمن الموحد، وفرعها في السماء لأنها تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها. أما كلمة الشرك وكلمة الكفر والعياذ بالله فكشجرة افتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار. إذن إذا كنت قد غرست كلمة التوحيد في قلبك فقد سلكت طريقا إلى التثبيت، وإذا دعوت إلى التوحيد فقد سلكت طريقا إلى التثبيت، وإذا اعتصمت بالتوحيد والسنة فقد ثبت الله فؤادك في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة.
He said number two, the second thing in the general way of how you get established on this religion and blessed with steadfastness on the deen, brothers in Islam, is that if you make yourself a muwahid, a person who is a possessor of a tawheed, if you are a person who develops within yourself al-ikhlas, and you are a person who is upon al-ittiba', you're muttabi', you are a follower of the proof. He went on to say this is from the greatest forms and the greatest vehicles to become established upon this deen and to remain steadfast upon the deen. And as it relates to this issue, the importance of a tawheed and being steadfast, Allah has given us another similar tool, just like in the first issue. And that similar tool is that he said that the good word, which is in this case, the kalimat al-tawheed, he likened the good word to a tree. A tree which its origin, its roots are firmly established, and its branches are reaching up to the sky. The Sheikh said, in this case, because of a tawheed that is in a person's heart, and he is a muwahid, as a result of that, he will be steadfast on the deen. And as the ayah said, this tree will give its fruit at each and every time. Whereas in contrast, if a person has shirk, or if a person has mixed up in his ideology polytheism, then he is like the no good tree. The no good tree that can barely remain standing. So therefore, if a person wants to be steadfast, if he plants inside of his heart the kalimat tawheed, he has taken for himself one of the ways of being steadfast and getting a sabbat on the religion. If an individual takes it upon himself to invite and to give dawah in a tawheed, he has taken upon himself one of the ways to be steadfast in the deen. If the person takes and he becomes one who is mu'tasam, he has an i'tisam, he takes the kitab and he takes the sunnah and the tawheed that is inside of it, he will establish for himself a steadfast in the dunya as well as in the akhirah.
والأمر الثالث هو التزام شرع الله. قال الله تعالى في سورة إبراهيم: يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى بسبب التزامك بشرعه وبسبب إقامتك لدينه وبسبب عملك الصالح يثبت الله قلبك في الحياة الدنيا، ويثبت الله لسانك في القبر فتجيب على أسئلة الملائكة لأنك ثبتت على منهج الله في الدنيا، فيثبتك الله في البرزخ في القبر، ويثبتك الله يوم القيامة على الصراط حيث تكون إن شاء الله ونكون جميعا في الزمرة الأولى التي يمرون على الصراط كالبرق يدخلون الجنة. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يثبت أقدامنا يوم تزل الأقدام.
The third thing, إخوان, that will cause a person to be established upon the deen and steadfast upon the deen is holding on to the religion that Allah has legislated. Being a religious individual, holding on to the deen and having iltizam. Like Allah mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, Allah will establish those people who believe and they do righteous works with a statement that is sabit, with a kalima that is sabit, with a qawl that is sabit, in the dunya and in the hereafter. And Allah will cause to go astray the disbeliever. And Allah does whatever He wants. Allah does ma yasha. The Shaykh says, so as a result of a person holding on to the religion that Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated, and as a result of his doing the deeds, which are deeds of righteousness, Allah Ta'ala will establish his heart upon the truth in the dunya. And Allah Ta'ala will establish his tongue upon the truth when he is in his grave, as a result of the fact that he held on to the deen in the dunya. So he will be enabled, whenever the malaika comes to him in his grave, he will have the thabat, and he will be steadfast in his grave because he used to have al-iltizam. He used to hold on to the deen in the dunya. So, whether it's in the dunya, whether it's in the grave, even in the barzakh, in the hereafter life, in the barzakh, before he even goes to the Jannah, before that happens, in the barzakh, he will even be established. One example, on the sirat, on the path the sirat that people are going to have to pass. He will be established upon that sirat. And then the shaykh started to make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal makes us all of the first group of people who pass the sirat with success, those people who pass the sirat with the speed of lightning.
ومن وسائل التثبيت والثبات أن يتدبر المسلم ما ورد في الكتاب والسنة من قصص الأنبياء ويدرسها للتأسي بها وللعمل بها. فقد قص الله تبارك وتعالى على رسوله من قصص الأنبياء ما ثبت به فؤاده، فقال سبحانه وتعالى في سورة هود في الآية 120: كلا نقص عليك من أنباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك وجاءك في هذا الحق وموعظة وذكرى للمؤمنين. فربنا تبارك وتعالى ما قص على رسولنا القصص الحق وأنزل عليه أحسن القصص إلا ليثبت به فؤاده، لأن من رأى الرسل وقد ثبتوا على دين الله ورأى الصالحين وقد ثبتوا على منهج الله فإنه حينئذ يتأسى بهم، لأن من طبيعة الإنسان حب التأسى. ولذلك لما جاء خباب بن الأرت رضي الله عنه إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يشكو له تعذيب الكفار ويشكو له اضطهاد المشركين، قال: جئت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو متوسد بردة له في ظل الكعبة، فقلت: يا رسول الله، ألا تدعو لنا؟ ألا تستنصر لنا؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يريد أن يثبت خباب، قد كان الرجل قبلكم يؤخذ فيحفر له في الأرض فيوضع فيها فيؤتى بالمنشار فيجعل نصفين ويؤتى بأمشاط الحديد فيمشط ما دون عظمه من لحم وعصب، ما يصده ذلك عن دينه. إذن عندما كان يقص الرسول على أصحابه قصص الصالحين كما قص الله عليه قصص الأنبياء، إنما يفعل ذلك ليس للتسلية وليس لتضييع الوقت وليس للترفيه، وإنما للعبرة والتأسي والتثبيت. فمن رأى أنبياء الله قد ثبتوا ورأى الصالحين قد ثبتوا فإنه سيسلك في طريقهم ويكون في مركبهم ويكون مع موكبهم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا وإياكم معهم.
Number four, إخوان, from the important ways that will help and benefit one to be established and steadfast upon the deen is for him to contemplate and to reflect upon what has come to us from the stories of the Anbiya and the stories of the righteous people in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has told these stories in the Quran so that people will work by them and so that people will emulate and imitate what happened to them, they also follow suit. Allah Ta'ala told these stories to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to establish him. As Allah said in an ayah from Surah Hud, and verily in ayah number 120, Allah Ta'ala said, and verily we have given you these stories about the messengers to establish your heart firmly. The Shaykh says so in these stories, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them for no other reason other than to get strength from them, to make the companions, to make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heart firm upon the truth of what he was bringing. So whenever a person sees that the Anbiya, what they went through, and whenever a person sees what the righteous people were put through, he himself becomes like them when he reads these stories and he contemplates how they are. Because from the nature of the human being is they are naturally inclined to follow suit and to be like others, to try to imitate what others were doing. Another proof of this example is when the companion Khabbab ibn al-Arad, when he came, radiallahu anhu, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khabbab, he said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was wearing a burda and he was taking shade from the shade of the Kaaba. When I came to him, I started to complain to him about what the mushrikun were doing to us. So I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, don't you see what's going on? Would you not help us? Would you not make dua, ask Allah to help us? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about what happened to the people before. He said, there were some people who came before you, and there's a man from them who was taken, and a hole was made for him in the earth. And then a sword will be brought, and then he will be cut in half, and he will be split in half. And then after that, they will bring an iron comb, and they will take that iron comb that was heated, and they will run it through his body, and it will separate his bones, and it will separate his asab, his nerves from his bones and his meat. And that will not cause the individual to leave his religion. The Sheikh said in this story, for an example, when the companion came complaining, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him this story in order to establish his heart, in order to make him more steadfast on what he was doing. He didn't give him this story just to waste the time. He didn't give him this story just to be giving him a story. No. So therefore, whoever reads the Quran and the Sunnah and he sees what happened to the Anbiya and what took place and what happened and transpired with the religious people, it will cause his heart in turn to become established because he wants to be like them. Then the Shaykh made dua that Allah Azza wa Jal establishes all of us the way he established them. Ikhwan, can you please move forward so that we can make space in the back? Can you please move forward so that we can make space in the back? Please move forward. Barakallahu fikum. Please move forward. لماذا طلبوا هذا؟ ما أرى يعني هؤلاء من ضمنها.
ومن وسائل الثبات على الدين، نسأل الله أن يثبت قلوبنا.
آمين.
الدعاء، أن تدعو الله أن يثبت قلبك على دينه. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. فالله سبحانه وتعالى أمرنا بدعائه، وقال سبحانه وتعالى: وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. لأن الدعاء هو العبادة. ولذلك يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مخبرا عن تقلب القلوب، نسأل الله أن يثبت قلوبنا: قلوب بني آدم كلها بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن كقلب واحد يصرفه حيث يشاء. قلوب بني آدم كلها بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن كقلب واحد يصرفه كيف يشاء. ولذلك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في الترمذي يقول ويكثر من ذلك: يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك، يا مثبت القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. إخواني هذا الدعاء فيه تضرع، فيه خشية، فيه تذلل، فيه افتقار إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. فأنت يا عبد الله ضعيف، فأنت يا عبد الله فقير إلى مولاك، فلا بد أن تشعر دائما بعجزك ونقصك وافتقارك إلى الله. أما إذا داخلك الغرور وحب الظهور الذي يقصم الظهور، فإن الله إذا وكلك إلى نفسك طرفة عين خبت وخسرت والعياذ بالله. لذلك كان العالمون بالله العارفون بسنة رسول الله يقولون التوفيق، التوفيق الموفق، التوفيق أن لا يكلك الله إلى نفسك طرفة عين، والخذلان أن يكلك الله إلى نفسك. فاللهم لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين.
آمين. The Sheikh Ikhwani said point number 5, the general ways of being steadfast and acquiring it in the deen is for you to make dua, for you to busy yourself and preoccupy yourself with calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, as he said in the Quran, the dua of the believers, O our Lord, do not cause our hearts to stray after you have guided us. And give unto us, provide for us, bestow upon us from yourself rahmah. Verily you are the bestower, you are al-wahhab. And Allah Ta'ala also said in the Quran, and your Lord says, make dua to me, supplicate to me, call on me, and I will answer your prayer. Verily those people who are too proud, too arrogant to call on me, I will cause them to enter into the hellfire from amongst the lowly ones. The Sheikh said that here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those people who are arrogant to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're the ones who are not making the dua, because the dua is ibadah, dua is worship. And also we had the authentic hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us the importance of the dangerous issue of the way the heart flip-flop and the way they fluctuate. When he used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us in this authentic hadith, verily the hearts of all of Bani Adam, all of the hearts of Bani Adam are between the two fingers, from the fingers of Ar-Rahman, like one heart. He changes them however he wants to change them. So therefore the Sheikh said, making this dua, O our Lord, do not cause our heart to deviate, to fluctuate, after you have guided us. The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwani, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it has been authentically reported in the Sunan of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, that he used to so many times, he used to say, oh, the turner of the heart, calling on Allah, calling him the turner of the heart, establish my heart on your deen. Brothers, the dua, when you ask and you call on Allah, it in and of itself is a form of fearing Allah. It is a form of humbling oneself. It is a form of a person showing that he is in need of Allah, having the istiqar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You, Abdullah, you are weak and you are poor and you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to feel that you are always in need of Allah's assistance and Allah's help. If anyone finds himself being impressed with himself, or if he loves to be seen and his situation to become apparent, or what he called a dhuhur, and the love of this dhuhur, it breaks the back. He said, if anyone is like this, then this individual is the one who has been left to his own self, and this is destruction. And this is why we find those people who used to know from the scholars of the past, and those people who were upon the truth, they used to say that the tawfiq, the muwaffaq, the one who had the success given to him by Allah, he is the one who, the muwaffaq, the one who was successful, Allah gave him the tawfiq. He is the one who Allah never ever allows him to be left to himself. Allah never leaves him to be left to himself for the batting of an eye. Allah is in charge of his affair. And the one who has been forsaken, the one who has been destroyed, the one who was on the way of destruction, is the one who Allah left him to his own self, to his own whim. He left him to rely on being impressed with his own self.
Announcement for the sisters. There's still a lot of noise in the sisters' room with the children. Sisters with children, please could you take your children upstairs to enable the sisters downstairs to concentrate.
وأما آخر الوسائل العامة وهي كثيرة جدا لكن الوقت لا يسعفنا هي ذكر الله. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. ويقول الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم فئة فاثبتوا واذكروا الله كثيرا. فخاطبنا الله سبحانه وتعالى لكي نثبت على منهجه وعلى دينه بأن نكثر من ذكر الله. أن نكثر من ذكر الله. ودونكم هذا الحديث العظيم. فعن أبي هريرة ما في صحيح مسلم قال: كنا نسير مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قرب جبل يقال جمدان، قرب جبل يقال له جمدان، فقال: سيروا هذا جمدان سبق المفردون، سيروا هذا جمدان سبق المفردون. قالوا: وما المفردون يا رسول الله؟ قال: الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات.
The Sheikh, he said, finally we come to the last issue that we're going to mention as it relates to the means and the ways to become steadfast upon the deen, the general ways that we are mentioning, and there are so many of them, but the time does not allow us. But from them, the last one, from the general one, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being a person who remembers Allah. Allah said in the Quran, verily, with the remembrance of Allah, the hearts become tranquil. And he also said in another ayat proving this point, the dhikr of Allah will establish you on the deen. O you who believe, if you meet a group of the enemy, a fi'a, a group of your enemy, then be established. Have the thabat, be established, be firm, and remember Allah a lot. The Shaykh said here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, and He has commanded us to remember Him at this critical time. And another proof is what I'm going to give you from that tremendous hadith, the hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that they were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were traveling with him on an expedition. And when they were with him, they came past a mountain called the mountain of Jumdan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, travel, go forward, go ahead, keep going, travel. For verily this is the mountain of Jumdan. And verily the Munfaridun, they have superseded everyone. The companions asked him, Ya Rasulullah, who are the Munfaridun? Who are those people that you're referring to? He said to them, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are the men and the women who mention Allah much. They are the men and the women who mention and they make the dhikr of Allah much.
الآن لو سألنا أنفسنا وسألنا إخواننا ما هو العلاقة بين ذكر الجبل وذكر الله؟ ما هو العلاقة في الحديث ذكر الرسول الجبل، ما علاقة الجبل بذكر الله؟ ها؟ طيب نقول ما هي وظيفة الجبال في الأرض؟ تثبيت الأرض، وألقينا في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم، أي الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الجبال أوتاد الأرض والجبال أوتادا، فلولا هذه الجبال لمادت الأرض واضطربت، وكذلك ذكر الله، فلولا ذكر الله لتزعزع الفؤاد واضطرب وتقلب وما ثبت على أمر الله. فكما أن الجبال تثبت الأرض كذلك ذكر الله يثبت القلوب.
The Shaykh said, now if we were to ask ourselves and we were to ask our brothers as it relates to the last hadith of Abu Huraira about that mountain, if we were to ask the people, what is the relationship and the connection between the mountain and the dhikr of Allah? Because Rasulullah, when they were traveling in the expedition, he said to his companions, keep going, keep going. Here's the mountain of Jumdan. And the people, who the men and the women who remember Allah a lot, they are the ones who have succeeded. So the Shaykh is saying, what is the connection between that mountain and the dhikr of Allah, the men and women who remember Allah? He said, if you look at what the mountains are for here, why they have been created, the wazifa of the mountain, it is the job of the mountain. They have been created in order, alhamdulillah, to keep the earth established together. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that the mountains were the otad, He said that the mountains were the otad of the earth. And He started to say some of the ayat that we have put the mountains in the earth to keep them, to keep the earth together. So the job of the mountain is to make the earth stable, to keep the earth established. If there were no mountains, then the earth would split apart. It wouldn't be able to stay together. He says similarly, without the dhikr of Allah, if a person did not remember Allah, then the heart, the person's heart and the hearts of the people, they also would come apart. They wouldn't be able to take care of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
هذه جملة من الوسائل العامة. أما الوسائل الخاصة في هذه البلاد فنقول من أعظم وسائل الثبات على الدين في هذه البلاد الحرص على التميز وسط الكفار، وذلك بأمور.
He said, so this is some of what you just heard, the general issues that you can use to get a thabat on the deen. As for the specific ones, as it relates to living here, the first one that we want to mention is doing your best to stand out distinct, having a tamayyuz while you're living here amongst the kuffar, to do your best to be distinct, to stand out, to have your own unique, distinct identity. And this can be accomplished by many ways.
لأن أعظم مخاطر التي تواجه الجاليات الإسلامية هو التغريب، أي انصهار هذه الجاليات المسلمة وسط البيئة الجديدة، وهذا ظاهر. فإذا استطاع الجيل الأول أن يحافظ على دينه ولغته، فإن الجيل الثاني إن حافظ على دينه لا يحافظ على لغته، والجيل الثالث لن يحافظ على دينه وعلى لغته، سيضيعه وسط الزحام. فلا بد إخواني من التميز، تميز المسلمين عن الكافرين ولو عاشوا وسطهم.
The Sheikh, he said, because from the most dangerous issues that face us is the strangeness that we have, the taghrib, the fact that we're living with these people, we're not like those people. So one of the most dangerous things that can impact and affect the minority of Muslims who live here is the fact that we're different from these people. For an example, if the first generation of Muslims who come here, the first generation, when they come, for an example, they hold on to their religion and they hold on to their deen and their language, for an example. But then when the next generation comes, the next generation, it holds on to their deen, but they don't hold on to their language. And then the next generation comes, and the third generation doesn't hold on to the deen, and it doesn't hold on to the language, and on and on and on.
وهذا التميز مظاهره كثيرة ولكن أذكر أمرين اثنين. أولا الحرص على الأسرة المسلمة. لابد أن نحرص على الأسرة المسلمة لأنها اللبنة الأولى في المجتمع المسلم. ولذلك ترون أن كثيرا من الكفار يحاولون تفكيك الأسرة، يحاولون تضييع الأسرة، يحاولون تمزيق الأسرة المسلمة. فلا بد أن نحافظ على الأسرة المسلمة ونحافظ على كيانها أبا وأما وأطفالا، كل يعرف حقوقه وواجباته، كل يعرف أين مصدر عزته وكرامته، كل يعرف أين يعمل. الرجل راع وهو مسؤول عن رعيته، والمرأة راعية أين؟ في بيت زوجها وهي مسؤولة عن رعيتها، والخادم راع في مال سيده وهو مسؤول عن رعيته. لكن إذا انقلب الموازين فأصبحت المرأة كالرجل وأصبح الرجل كالمرأة، فأين القوامة في الأسرة المسلمة؟ ضاعت، وعندئذ ستكون كالريشة في مهب الريح.
He said, as for the ways that we can hold on to this distinct way of being Muslims here, there are many, but I'll only mention two right now. The first one is that we hold on and we make sure that we safeguard and we protect the Muslim family. That we safeguard and we protect the Muslim family. Because in reality, the Muslim family is the first brick in the building of the society. The family of the Muslim family, it is the first brick in the society. So we find that many of the disbelievers from the kuffar, they are always trying to break up the Muslim family. They use so many means and ways and methodologies in order to cause the Muslim family to become fragmented. So everyone, as it relates to the members of the Muslim family, they have to come to understand what it is to be the father, what it is to be the mother, what it is to be the child. Everyone needs to come to know about the hukuk or the rights of the other individuals or the members of the family. Everyone has to know what is the wajibat of each and every member of the family. And everyone has to come to know what is the source of the honor, the masdar of the izzah and the karama. What's the source of the honor and the izzah of the Muslim family? The hadith is clear when it said that a man is a shepherd and he will be held responsible, accountable for his flock. And the woman is a shepherdess in her husband's house and she will be held accountable for his house and his children. And the servant, the khadim, is responsible for the money of the master, of his master, his owner. The Sheikh said if the mawazin, if the scales, they were to flip over and the woman becomes the man and the man becomes the woman, then how is the Muslim family going to be able to be established if something like that happens?
ومن الوسائل التي تعين على التميز الحرص على الهوية الإسلامية من لباس إسلامي ومن أسماء إسلامية، ومن تحية إسلامية، ومن معاملات إسلامية. فهذه يجب أن نحرص عليها إخوة الإسلام، لأنها تميز المسلم عن الكافر في لباسه، في اسمه، في تحياته، في معاملته للمسلمين وللكفار. فإن كثيرا من الكفار يدخلون في الإسلام بسبب المعاملة الحسنة، بسبب القدوة الصالحة، بسبب الكلمة الطيبة. عندما يرونك تطبق دينك كما أنزل عليك يعرفون عظمة هذا الدين، يعرفون محاسن هذه الشريعة، فيدخلون في دين الله تبارك وتعالى، فتكون قدوة صالحة لدينك وممثلا صالحا لرسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The second thing that we want to mention as it relates to these two points, holding on and making yourself mutamayyiz, is that the Muslim has to do his best to hold on to and to establish the Islamic personality, his identity, his person's identity, the Islamic identity. And this is accomplished by wearing those clothes of the Muslims, Islamic clothes, and having the names that are Islamic names, and by greeting each other and holding on to the greeting of al-Islam, and also by the mu'amala, the way we work and the way we deal with each other, even the way we deal with kuffar. Because how many times have kuffar entered into the religion of al-Islam and embraced the religion of al-Islam as a result of the mu'amala, the way that the Muslims have dealt with them? Whenever they see you follow and practice your religion the way that it is supposed to be followed and practiced, the way that it was revealed, when they see us doing that, they see the beauty of al-Islam, the positive aspects of al-Islam. So the person has to be an example, and he has to do his best to be the one who represents what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, what he brought.
الأمر الثاني، ضرورة إقامة مؤسسات تعين على ذلك، على التجمع، على التميز الإسلامي، مثل التجمعات المسلمة، كالقرى المسلمة، كالأحياء الإسلامية. يعني يجتمع المسلمون في حي، إن استطاعوا أن يبنوا لهم قرية يبنوا لهم قرية، مدارس الإسلامية لا بد منها، المراكز الإسلامية، المساجد، المؤتمرات لا يجب أن تعقد دائمة لكي يتواصل المسلمون في بينهم، الدروس العلمية ينبغي أن تحيا لكي يبقى المسلمون على صلة بدينهم.
الشيخ he said that the second thing that we'll mention is the need and the necessity of having Islamic institutions that will help and assist in holding on to the Islamic identity. That we have places where the Muslims gather in that place in large numbers. Like, for an example, having Muslim towns, having Muslim neighborhoods. If the Muslims have the ability to all live in the same area, to all live in the same place, they have the ability to do so, then that's what they should do. Also from the institutions, the Islamic schools, as well as the Islamic centers, in addition to that, having continual conferences. The conferences are extremely important, so that the Muslims will come together in one place, and that they will mutually and collectively advise each other and remind each other. Also, giving knowledge-based and scholastic lessons. We have to give life to these lessons and make them available for the people.
والأمر الثالث أن يشتغل المسلمون في هذه البلاد بالعلم النافع والعمل الصالح، وعدم الاشتغال بما لا يعنيه، لأن من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه من الأمور التي لا يصلحونهم له ولا تكون في بلادهم. والأمثلة كثيرة، فإن هذه الدعوة وهذا الدين كان له صولة وجولة في هذه البلاد، لكن الدعوة تكست انتكاسة عظيمة في السنوات الأخيرة أو في السنتين الأخيرتين بسبب اشتغال كثير من الشباب في أمور لا تنفعهم بل تضرهم، بل فككت جمعهم وشتتت شملهم وجعلتهم أعداء وخصوما. يمر الأخ على أخيه لا يلقي له سلاما، يتمنى عثرته، يتمنى هلاكه والعياذ بالله تبارك وتعالى. بسبب ماذا؟ بسبب أنهم اشتغلوا بما لا ينفعهم، بما لا يعينهم على الثبات في هذه البلاد. رجل يدخل في الإسلام يأتي إلى المسجد، يخرج له رجل لا يعرف كيف يتوضأ، يقول له: ما موقفك من فلان؟ ما تقول في زيد؟ ما تقول في عمرو؟ الله أكبر. رجل دخل في الإسلام لا يعرف لا إله إلا الله، تمتحنه في شخص لن يسألك الله ولن يسأله عنه، فتكون قاطع طريق عن الله، تكون من الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله، لأنك اشتغلت بما لا يعنيك، اشتغلت بما يضرك ولا ينفعك، فكنت عونا للشيطان على إخوانك.
Number three, Ikhwan, from the specific issue that will cause you to be established on your deen here in this country is preoccupying ourselves with beneficial knowledge and doing and working by completing the good actions and leaving alone, becoming preoccupied with that which does not concern us or that which does not benefit us. So it is becoming preoccupied and busy while we're here with beneficial knowledge, obtaining it, and also to become preoccupied with doing the righteous deeds and leaving alone altogether, becoming busy and preoccupied with what does not concern us and that which does not benefit us. Because from a person's good Islam is his leaving alone that which does not concern him. Ikhwan, this dawah of ours, it had its power and it had its memory, its remembrance. There was a time when it was spreading and it had power here in this country. And then the situation changed and it turned in these last few years. And the main reason why it happened, one of the main reasons, is that many of the youth, many of the people here, they became preoccupied with what doesn't benefit them. As a matter of fact, they became preoccupied with what harms them. Unfortunately, it became a situation where we became enemies one to another. A person would pass by his brother in this place, in this country. He would pass by his brother and he doesn't give him salam. He cannot even greet him with a salam. And we became divided amongst ourselves. And we became enemies one to another, an opponent one to another, to the point where people, they desire and they want the destruction of other Muslims, other people. The reason for that is because the people became preoccupied with what does not concern them. A man enters into the religion of Al-Islam, this religion of the truth, he enters in. He doesn't have knowledge and he doesn't know how to make wudu. Someone comes to that individual and says to him, what is your position? What is your stance and what is your position concerning fulan and fulan? He asks him, what's your position concerning Zayd? What's your position concerning Amr? And the individual doesn't even know how to make the wudu. Another one comes into the religion and he just barely says, La ilaha illallah. That's about all that he knows. He's brand new. And then the person comes and he asks him, what is your position about this one and what's your motive about that one? The sheikh said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not going to ask that individual anything about that person who he's been asked, what's your motive about this person? Allah is not going to ask him that question. Nor is Allah going to ask the questioner, what's your motive? What's anything about that other individual? So the way that it has become, the one who does this, the one who asks that new Muslim these questions, he is considered, and he could be considered, to be the one who cuts off the way of guidance. He cuts off the way of being guided for that individual. He's one of the people who puts a barrier for the people in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he became busy and he preoccupied himself and other people with what doesn't benefit him, what doesn't benefit them, but instead it hurts everyone.
والأمر الرابع هو التعاون على البر والتقوى. ومن أعظم التعاون على البر والتقوى أخواني في هذه الديار أن يتفقد الأخ أخاه ويسأل عنه إذا غاب، فإن هذه من أعظم التعاون على البر والتقوى ومن أعظم وسائل الثبات على الدين في بلاد الكفر.
الشيخ said number 4 إخوان from what can give us a thabat here is cooperating with each other, cooperating upon righteousness, al-birr, and cooperating upon fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the greatest means of getting a thabat, and from the greatest manifestations and aspects of a ta'awun is when we cooperate with each other by asking. One brother, when his other brother goes missing, he starts to ask, where is my brother? What happened to him? When it happens where you don't see a person after some time, you begin to ask, where is he at? Where is so and so? The sheikh said, this is one of the greatest aspects of having mutual cooperation between ourselves.
وآخر نقطة أذكرها هي وجوب التواصل المستمر مع أهل العلم في بلاد الإسلام، لأن هذه البلاد لا يوجد فيها علماء، فأنتم بحاجة إلى التواصل المستمر مع علماء الإسلام في بلاد الإسلام. والعالم الذي ينبغي عليكم أن تتواصلون معه هو الذي يعلمكم. قال الله، قال رسول الله، قال صحابة رسول الله، الذي يعلمكم كتاب الله، الذي يعلمكم سنة رسول الله، الذي يعلمكم التوحيد، الذي يعلمكم العقيدة، الذي يعلمكم الأحكام، الذي يعلمكم كيف ترتبطون بالله وبرسوله. لا يشغلكم في أنفسكم بزيد وعمر وفلان وعلان، أنتم بحاجة إلى العلم إخوات الإسلام، بحاجة إلى العمل، بحاجة إلى أن تتزودوا في هذه الديار التي كثرت فيها الشهوات، والشهوات تتخطف القلوب، وكثرت فيها الشبهات، والقلوب ضعيفة والشبه خطافة. اللهم ثبتنا على دينك، وإذا أردت بعبادك فتنة فاقبضنا إليك غير مفتونين يا رب العالمين، واختم لنا بالصالحات، إنك مولانا فنعم المولى ونعم النصير.
The Sheikh said finally the last thing that we want to mention from the specific wasa'il that will help us to get a sabat here in this place is that we have to be continuously connected to the people of knowledge, the ulama who are present in the land of Islam, the ulama who are present in the Islamic land. Because here in this country, here, we do not have any ulama. He emphatically stated that there are no ulama present here. So we are all in dire need of being connected to the ulama. And which ulama am I talking about? I'm talking about the scholar that this is his characteristic. This is his description. He is the scholar who's going to teach you Allah said this. The scholar who's going to teach you that Rasulullah said that. The scholar who's going to teach you that the companion said this or the companion did that. The one who's going to teach you the book of Allah, the sunnah of Rasulullah. He's going to teach you tawheed. He's going to teach you aqidah. He's going to teach you the ahkam, the rules and regulations that you need to know. He's going to teach you how to be connected and tied to Allah. Not the scholar. Do not connect. Not the scholar. To, who's going to preoccupy you with Zayd did this, and Amr did that, and Fulan did this. This is not the scholar that you connect yourself to. You are in dire need of good action. You're in dire need of getting knowledge. You're in dire need of being united. Because you're living in a place here where there's a lot of desire, a lot of shahwat. And the shahwat, they have an impact upon the heart. The shubahat, the affairs that are ambiguous. So those ambiguous affairs, which are shubahat, they send people astray. And the shahawat, they snatch people and catch them in their snares. And then the shaykh, he began to make a series of dua for us, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make us tried in our religion and to give us the success in some other affairs that we say to all of those dua. Ameen.